In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Most blessed Holy Spirit, we call on you to guide us so that your truth and your energy and your love may take over our lives. Amen. So I'm going to go on with this chapter 5 in the document on the church. Next time we're at this point, I'm going to be quoting the call to the Holy Year. Forgot the name of it, John Paul II's document, but I'll have it then. No. Number 41. The forms and tasks of life are many, but there is one holiness, which is cultivated by all who are led by God's Spirit, and obeying the Father's voice, and adoring God the Father in spirit and in truth, follow Christ, poor and humble, in carrying his cross, that they may deserve to be sharers in his glory. All, however, according to their own gifts and duties, must steadfastly advance along the way of a living faith, which arouses hope and works through love. Now, just honestly, if we priests were to take a moment to reflect, when was the last time we spoke to the people about their call to be saints and what that really means? If you leave it called to saints, they're going to say, oh, not me. My gosh, no. I'm the worst or I'm whatever, you know. No, everybody. In fact, I'm going to try to talk about that more. The notion that the present pontiff is reducing the demands of the gospel or being sloppy about them or whatever people are thinking. Not that at all. Just think. Why would that woman, Mary, have gone in and broken up that party, that dinner party at the Pharisee's house? What was driving her? She didn't have to be told that being a prostitute was the wrong thing to do. She knew that. What did she know? What had happened to her? She saw Christ. He might have even looked at her once. We don't know. But it gave her hope. And so she, a prostitute in a small town, I've been to the town, what's left of it, in a small town, goes to the big shot, the chief, Pharisee of the town, crashes the party, falls at his feet, weeps. Now, what would have moved this woman who, had she gone through the normal channels, wouldn't have gotten by the first door? It wasn't that Jesus told her she was going to hell, was it? It was that he loved her and gave her a whole other vision of herself. Yes, she could be going to hell. I'm not saying she wasn't or couldn't. I'm trying to point out what our present pontiff is trying to tell us. Just don't give rules and regulations. Show people the love of Christ, and they'll be won over. And that's what this is taught. But in order to do that in an authentic way, see, we can't just be nice to people and sort of say, well, I'm in the same boat. Because we're all in the same boat, that we're all, you know, deserve hell. We deserve infinite forgiveness, and we need it. But we have a way of showing the love of Christ, and people, therefore, wanting to come to him. And that's this point. And that's what it says in this next section here. In the first place, the shepherds of Christ's flock, in the image of the high and eternal priest, shepherd and bishop of our souls, these people should carry out their ministry with holiness and zeal, with humility and courage. Thus fulfilled, this ministry would also be for them an outstanding means of sanctification. Called to the fullness of the priesthood, the bishops are endowed with the sacramental grace, that by prayer, sacrifice, and preaching, and through every form of episcopal care and service, they will fulfill the perfect duty of pastoral love. They should not be afraid to lay down their lives for their sheep, and having become examples for their flock, they must help the church also by their own example to grow in holiness. That was directed specifically to the bishops. But it's true of every priest. It's every, you know. We're not just to be nice guys. We're supposed to love like Christ loves. And I've thought so many times in my life, why would that woman, an outcast, you know, disdained by everybody at that party, crash that party? What gave her the guts to do that? What gave her the desire to do that? Somehow she knew that there was love and hope in Jesus. And so she went to him and wept at his feet. Ministers of lesser rank also share in a special way in the mission and grace of the high priest. First among them are deacons, who as servants of the mysteries of Christ and of the church should keep themselves free from every vice, should please God and give a good example. And he says, just alluding to 1 Timothy there, clerics called by the Lord and set aside for his service should prepare themselves for their ministerial duties under the pastor's watchful care and so forth. And then it goes on to talk about the objects of the ministry of calling to holiness. And I'm going to, talk about that next time. But what I want to do right now is look as well, for just a moment, at that key part of Gaudium et Spes, which talks about the universal call to holiness and how that was strengthened in that, beginning the Holy Year. John Paul had a great intuition about that Holy Year, that it was really supposed to make the church holy and prepare the church. Well, you can see now why there had to be a preparation of the church. Where are we not being persecuted? You know, I'm giving this talk on, I don't know what exactly the date is, but it's late September. And you know what's going on in Syria and how the towns where there are Christians are being decimated. The men are being killed. The women are being raped. These are Christians, you see? And so the Lord knew that when he launched that universal call to holiness through the council. And it would have been so wonderful if we could have built them up, gotten them ready. And if you don't mind me just going on another way in this whole thing, no, and people are saying, you know, is Pope Francis really Catholic? It's been so long that people just went out and showed the love of Christ on their face, except for the missionaries, particularly the hospital missionaries. There they see it. But the rest of us are either in such worse shape, bad shape, we can't do anything, or we're telling them what's wrong with them. That's important. But it's much more important to show them the love of Christ. That image of Mary Magdalene running into that big room full of big shots, falling at his feet. Remember, he'd be lying on a couch, sort of, so his feet would be down here. And weeping, washing his feet with her tears, drying them with her hair, anointing them with the most precious ointment she owned. How did she get that way? She was touched by love. So, you see, and we can't have that strength and purity of love until we have that kind of strength and purity in our own hearts. That is, that we love the Lord that much, which means we let him work with us. And that's why, you see, while we're talking now about the universal call to holiness, somebody has to point the way. And we have them. You know, we've got Mother Teresa, we've got Padre Pio, we've got... But you need second string and junior varsity waypointers, too, pointing the way. And so that's our job, huh? And so You see, this call, as I'm going to try to point out next time, see where there is this, I just want to read this one text here. This is from St. Bernard. "But there we listen to wisdom as a teacher." He's talking about prayer. "As a teacher in a lecture hall, delivering an all-embracing discourse. Here we receive it within us. There our minds are enlightened. Here our wills are moved to decision. Instruction makes us learned. Experience makes us wise." So first we have to be praying enough so that the Lord can open us up to really experience who He is, and then we'll have the wisdom to tell our people. You see? So the text goes on. You see that though wisdom gives light to many to see what they should do, it does not immediately spur them on to action. And so with God, to know Him is one thing, to fear Him is another. Nor does knowledge make a man wise, but the fear that motivates him. That's what makes him wise, right? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. That doesn't mean afraid of God. It means awed by God and unwilling to do anything that would offend Him. How truly, this I'm going on now, is the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom, because the soul begins to experience God for the first time when fear of Him takes hold of it, not when knowledge enlightens it. Fear of Him is itself an experience. From the beginning, it is a barrier to foolishness. So you see, we're called to be experiencing that. And so, as I'll be profiting from these to talk as I go on, I just felt that the Lord wanted us to be aware of the call to holiness, and that we're responsible for having that mediated in an understandable and desirable way to our people, to be holy. And because, I don't, by the time you hear this, I don't know, but right now, every time Pope Francis says, you see, he's not tough. He's not. You want to be tough. Die to self every day. You want to be tough? Make sure you get up early and pray. You want to be tough? Make sure you're doing penance for your people. You want to be tough? Turn off that television. That's how you get to be tough. Tough on yourself. And then the Lord Christ can manifest Himself through you. People are won over. And when you go to bed at night, you are such a happy man, because you've seen the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in your people. That's why we got ordained. And so we'll end those two talks for now, and then we'll pick up next time on this universal call to holiness, looking mostly at the Tertio Millennio Adveniente.